You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Oh, Marvin Bagley, the conversations about you seem to never end here. I'm sure Locked On Kings podcast listeners are getting tired of seeing Bagley's name in the title, but then again, maybe not. He's such a controversial figure, such an interesting figure, an important piece for the Kings' future. We're all excited to see him back, and hopefully he will be healthy and playing for the Kings during this 8-game sprint in Orlando, and it'll be a good reminder for all of us of who Marvin Bagley is and hopefully why the Kings decided to pick him number 2 overall. Regardless of how you feel about the pick, it's up to Marvin Bagley now to make his career worth it. And we're going to be discussing today Marvin Bagley's true position as I'm going to be joined by the Sacramento Bees' Richard Ivanowski on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season, all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for over the last 5 years. This is my 6th season covering the Kings both as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. And I have the privilege of covering this team, but I'm like you. I'm back here in Sacramento. I'm not in the Orlando bubble. Part of me wishes I was there just to experience it at all, because like Bogdan Bogdanovic said on yesterday's podcast, this is never probably going to happen again, and we've never seen anything like this. So it's exciting in that sense, but I am happy to be here with you in Sacramento to be following this whole saga with you, and it'll be really fun to watch these games with you and experience this sprint with you back here in the city, as we all will watch on our TV screens or listen on our radio. So I'm excited to get this all going, but there still are a lot of conversations, a lot of questions that we have surrounding the Sacramento Kings before this season gets going. And a lot of those questions have to do, of course, with Marvin Bagley. Now, we were all thrilled to hear that Bagley is healthy and he is competing in practice. He is there in Orlando and all signs point to him being ready to go. He will be suiting up and he will be playing during this 8-game sprint, which to me means the Kings have an immediate better chance of actually making the playoffs. But where is Marvin Bagley going to fit in? We've seen at times his rookie season, although it got better as time went on, and we saw a handful of times this season that when Marvin Bagley was on the floor, the Kings didn't quite look comfortable. They didn't look smooth. It didn't look like there was anything really established. We've talked a lot about Marvin Bagley kind of being tunnel visioned in the sense that he would get the ball in the high or low post and he's looking to score and nothing else. He really wouldn't pass. So there's all these elements of Marvin Bagley's game that we're hoping to see improve. We know he's put on weight, put on 10 pounds of muscle, according to himself and the work that he's put in the weight room during this break. Also been working on his outside shot, which we know will really help him. So there's a lot to pay attention to when it comes to Marvin Bagley alone and his return to the Sacramento Kings. So we're going to talk with Richard Ivanowski today from the Sacramento Bee, because he recently put out an article that was really, really good discussing Bagley's position and why Richard believes he is absolutely a center in the NBA, not a power forward, and of course not a small forward, as Vlade Divac and the Kings have tried to make him out to be over the last couple of years that he has been here in Sacramento. So I'm not going to waste any more time. Here is my conversation with the Sacramento Bee's Richard Ivanowski about Marvin Bagley, his true position being a center, and his fit long-term with the Sacramento Kings. Marvin Bagley is a mysterious and controversial figure here in Sacramento for a lot of reasons, and I would say most of them don't actually have to do with things that he has done. The Kings taking him with the number 2 overall pick over Luka Doncic, that's weight on his shoulders. The Sacramento Kings saying that he can play positionless basketball, even could be a small forward in the NBA. That's something that they have put on his shoulders that he hasn't said himself. And we're going to focus on that aspect and that element today as I am joined by Richard Ivanowski of the Sacramento Bee. You've heard Richard here on this podcast before. Very excited to talk to him because he recently wrote an article in the Bee about positionless basketball. In fact, it's titled The Positionless Problem. Bagley is a center, and the Kings should deal with it. So without any further ado, I'll welcome in Richard Ivanowski here to the Locked On Kings podcast. Richard, this article is fantastic. It's exciting to be able to talk basketball again. I think everybody is thrilled that Marvin Bagley is healthy and ready to play, and hopefully he will be able to prove all of us wrong or prove your point or prove something during this 8-game sprint in Orlando.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me back on. And it is interesting how much conversation there is around Marvin Bagley. And going back to my first time ever on a podcast on your show was talking about Marvin Bagley.
It's crazy. I mean, you just can't not talk about the guy. And of course, I think everybody agrees that De'Aaron Fox, Luke Walton's called him the head of the snake. Everybody knows that this is De'Aaron Fox's team. But the Marvin Bagley selection, it was very publicly known that that was the Kings' move as someone who could partner with Fox and fit in with Fox. And naturally, when you have the number 2 overall pick and you make that selection, there are ridiculously high expectations for that pick. And it's been a long time since the Kings have had a pick that high. And of course, we know about the struggles that they've had in the draft over the years. So Kings fans are all hoping that Marvin Bagley works out. But in order for him to work out, Richard, he has to find his clear role. He has to find his clear fit in both the offense and the defense. That's something that he struggled with. But let's start it off with this. Do you feel that those struggles have come from the team not quite knowing what they want to do with him? Or do you think it more has to do with the fact that he's just had such limited court time because of the injury issues that he's dealt with?
Yeah, so I mean, it's tough. I think that any young player, and he came in very young into a team that was not tremendously successful. There's been a change of head coach. There's been the injury stuff. Like, it's not surprising to me that he's struggled. But when you put it in the context, like you've described, being picked number 2 overall, being picked over Luka Doncic, being compared to Giannis by his new coach, Coach Luke Walton, compared him to Giannis, like a reigning MVP. That feels like a lot of pressure. Being told constantly that he can play 1 through 5 was something that Walton said, that he can play the small forward position, that Vlade Divac said. You know, it just, when you put it in the context, the struggles feel surprising. But I think, in reality, this is just growing pains.
No, I 100% agree with you, but I think it's I've said many times, the thing that Bagley needs more than anything, we've talked about his outside shot needs to improve, we talked about his strength needs to improve, his ability to use his right hand. More important than all of that combined, Richard, is Bagley just needs court time. I mean, he needs the opportunity to be able to play, to work his way through this rust, to figure it out. I know I bring this point up a lot when talking about De'Aaron Fox and the time that he needed, but I'll bring it up again to prove my point. Do you remember, Richard, De'Aaron Fox's first NBA start? It was here in Sacramento. It was a matinee game, and it was against the Washington Wizards. Now, I think we all agree that De'Aaron Fox deserved a start, and he was going to be the starter and hopefully star of the future for the Kings. But that was his rookie year, and it was against Washington, and John Wall made him look like an absolute fool. And that was necessary. Fox needed those games to get to the point that he is at now, and of course, he still has so far to go. So Marvin Bagley not getting that opportunity to struggle, to learn the hard way, I think has really set him back and is more of the issue than the fundamental things that he needs to work on.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, Fox's entire first season was tough. It was really rough. So much so that he was a finalist for Most Improved Player in his second year. Like, that's kind of built into it. He was so good in his second year, but it was that no one saw it coming because of how much he had to struggle. And he was getting worked on the court in his first year. And that's what rookies do. Like, that's, if you're not a transcendent talent, if you're not a Luka Doncic, you're going to have a really rough rookie year. There just aren't that many rookies that are going to come in and play effective winning basketball right from the jump. So it's been a little unfair. And yeah, I definitely think that Bagley needs more time on the floor. And to his credit, when he's on the floor, he has looked pretty good. there are some net rating issues that you could point to, but aside from that, he's scoring, he's rebounding, he led the team in block shots as a rookie. There is definitely a lot to like when Bagley is actually on the court.
Richard, I don't mean this as an insult at all to Marvin Bagley, although I'm sure he would take it that way if he heard this, but is it fair to still consider Bagley a little bit of a rookie, seeing as how he hasn't played 82 games? Obviously, he's been in the league now. This is his second year, and he's gotten that practice time, so he's been in the environment, but he hasn't played 82 games yet. I still consider Bagley a rookie just in terms of court time.
Yeah, no, that's not unfair. I mean, we gave Ben Simmons got the Rookie of the Year after a year of being in the environment. He just happened to play zero games in his first season. So, yeah, I mean, it's all relative. These labels are a little bit constraining. But, yeah, Bagley is absolutely still in the early part of his growth. And there's going to be a very different Bagley on the court if he can stay healthy and if he can be played in his correct role and a team that will play to his strengths rather than kind of play to their needs.
So you just said correct role, and clearly based off this article, you feel that Marvin Bagley's correct role is as a center. There are a couple questions that I have here, things buzzing in my head, and I want to ask you and talk about positionless basketball in just a little bit. But what is it about Marvin Bagley overall that you say, you know what, his game is a center. The Kings need to focus him as a center right now, and then maybe eventually he can develop into more of a hybrid player.
Yeah, so the first thing I think about is where he's most effective scoring the basketball. He is extremely effective around the rim. He has a little bit of a face-up game that is developing, but it's important that there's spacing under the rim for that. If he is trying to, you know, face up, make a little dribble drive and score at the basket, but there's a center standing under there, and then therefore the opposing team's defending center is right there too to provide help, that's going to make that difficult. I want him with as much space as possible and as near the basket as possible. So that's my first, that's where I'd say is most important. Secondly, if he's not going to be a center, then he does need a reliable shot. And I haven't quite seen that yet. 28.8% so far in his career from three. And even though there has been hot streaks post All-Star break his rookie year, you know, he put together some nice games in a row, but generally speaking, I haven't seen the type of shooting that I would be comfortable with from a power forward or, you know, one of these hybrid positionless wings, certainly not. So, you know, and especially when it comes to shooting in contested situations, he doesn't really do that. A lot of those shots, almost all of those three-point shots, I would consider wide open. So that's on the offensive side of things. Defensively, the problem with playing a guy at power forward on defense or the four or whatever you'd call it, you know, your larger wing player, means that they have to switch down as well as up. So I haven't seen the ability for Marvin Bagley to guard threes and potentially twos on a switch.
Right.
I would like him, I think I've mentioned him leading the team in blocks as a rookie. He needs to add a little more strength, but he's doing that. And that's going to work for him. I think that if you honestly ask him what he's working on, we've heard him say he's working on building strength specifically to defend centers in the NBA. I've never heard him say, look, I'm trying to, I'm working on defending guards. To me, his interior defense is much stronger and much more projectable than his perimeter defense.
Yeah, he talked a lot about what he's been working on during this hiatus, and the two main things have been getting stronger, which we've seen the results from that already, so that he can play the five, and also developing that outside shot, which of course he could use as a 5-1 with how important the outside shot is today. So let me ask you this, Richard. You put him or slot him in that center position as his most natural position. Is that a hard lock for you at that center spot, or if he was able to to over the course of the next year develop his three-point shot into, let's say, between 34 to 36%, which I think we all would agree is ideal. Is that enough for him then to transition to, okay, no, he can play more of that stretch four spot, or even with those numbers, is his still natural position and best fit at that five?
I still believe that his natural position and best fit would be the five, because we're looking at volume as well. So just for reference, Harrison Barnes, who has played a lot of four for the Kings, you know, he's shooting 38% on almost four attempts a game. We got to remember that Bagley's only shooting just over one attempt per game. And again, like I mentioned, generally on very open looks. And I won't even bring up Nemanja Bjelica's stats because he's an outlier shooter. There's no point in even comparing him, right? But, you know, basically what we're hoping for Bagley's shot, I think, is functionality. We don't expect him to excel ever at that skill. It is possible, I think, to put him at the four technically if you bring in a center who is a knockdown shooter, and that was the theory of signing Dwayne Dedmon. Obviously, that didn't work out so great.
Right. So does this theory then that you have with Marvin Bagley's true position being the five, does that already put the nail in the coffin of the Kings and their future with Rashawn Holmes in your mind? Do you think they're going to be forced to make a decision between Bagley and Holmes? And I think we all know which way the Kings will go and which way they have to go based off the fact that Bagley was a number two pick.
Not at all, really. You know, Rashawn Holmes has been incredible, but I think that he could very much play that Montrezl Harrell type role where you're an energy six man. You can play, we can get you 24, 25 minutes a night. I think that Holmes is a very humble guy. He has not been a starter really much at all in his career up until now. I don't think he's sitting there like, hey, if I don't have guaranteed starter minutes every night, I'm out of here. I think he would be a fantastic sort of sixth man.
Let's talk about positionless basketball. And essentially, in my mind, when I think of positionless basketball, I think of the death lineup Golden State Warriors, right? They were the ones that really put that on the map. And we know with Vivek Ranadive and with former coaches and just proximity that the Kings pay a lot of attention to what the Golden State Warriors do and what they have done. I think a lot of the league pays attention to what they have done. Steph Curry is probably responsible for completely changing the way the NBA has played and what a good shot is. But it was that death lineup with Draymond Green playing the five and Andre Iguodala playing the four with Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and then Harrison Barnes at times. It was that lineup that really changed things. Or maybe it was Barnes playing the four and Iggy playing the three. Regardless, they went small. We see the Houston Rockets. They're trying to put out their own version of playing small and positionless basketball with PJ Tucker playing the five. I'm more skeptical about that than I am with the Golden State Warriors. My point in bringing both those teams up, Richard, is those are two established teams with established stars, with clear systems and clear identity. And we thought the Kings did have clear identity with playing fast-paced, and I still think that is their identity and something that they can implement. But clearly this year, they took a step back in terms of pace, and Marvin Bagley wasn't playing as much, and they were using him in more half-court pick-and-roll sets, and is he a four, is he a five? Positionless basketball, to me, is not even something the Kings should consider right now, because they don't even have the foundation built to play that brand of basketball.
Yeah, I think the flip side of that argument is kind of the, you know, there's David strategies versus Goliath strategies. And I think that you might get bogged down in trying to just fit in with, you know, you can say that every team has a center, every team has power forward, small forward, or whatever, or, you know, the teams that are not super elite necessarily. But I think you've got to kind of go outside, think outside of the box a little bit and try to, you know, I don't know if the Kings, if they're just walking in there, going to do something standard, something expected every night, I don't know that they're going to turn the tides, but if they do something different, if they, you know, if they think, look, Harrison Barnes has been successful as a small ball four, we believe Marvin Bagley would fit as a small ball five. You know, we've got a quality point guard in De'Aaron Fox, a very good quality point guard in De'Aaron Fox, and a couple wings in Bogdanović and Buddy Hield. I don't see what's wrong with that as a starting five. And yeah, I mean, maybe you struggle, but you're probably also going to struggle too if you feel like you need to go out and get a traditional center and then put Buddy on the bench and he doesn't like that, or you put Bogey on the bench and he doesn't like that potentially, you know. So I don't know that there's any safe way to approach it.
What about for this 8-game stretch? There's been a lot of debate as to whether or not Bagley should be even considered for the starting lineup. I personally don't think he belongs anywhere near the starting lineup. I would love to see just what he can do over 8 games in 15 to 20 minute spurts. And maybe that goes up to 25 if he finds success with that second unit. But okay, Richard, you are Luke Walton. You're making these rotations. Obviously you have the context that we don't have of what's happening in training camp and what's happening in practice, but best guess, what would you be doing with Marvin Bagley in your rotation for these final 8 games?
Yeah, so my theory on this, and I wrote about this a little bit for the B as well, just trying to put my best 5 players in the basketball court as often as possible. I would probably do a very similar lineup to what I just said. Fox at the 1, Buddy and Bogey, interchangeable, small ball, 3-guard lineup, 2 and 3. Barnes at the 4. And then at the 5, I would have Rashawn Holmes in that spot and start. I think he is playing better right now, or you could say he is the better basketball player at this moment. And then Marvin Bagley be the backup center. And then with the intention that that can flip going into next year, where assuming Bagley is healthy, assuming he's got his reps, he's, you know, even by the end of this 8-game stretch, potentially, if his legs are back underneath him and everything's going well, you can flip that and put Bagley in there to start and Holmes as the 6th man.
Not to end on a downer, but it kind of is a downer, but also could be flipped to maybe being a positive. A lot of people are already concerned with Marvin Bagley and his development, especially with others in his draft class excelling and succeeding, and he's barely played because of his injury issues. I'm not willing to be too concerned at the moment because he is very, very young, and I'm not ready to call him an injury-prone player. A lot of his injuries just have been freak accidents that you can't explain that just happened while you play. It's not like he's had a nagging injury over and over and over again. So let me ask you this, Richard, to wrap things up. At what point do you start being concerned with Bagley's inability to pick up the game of basketball on the NBA level? Is it at the end of his 3rd year, assuming he plays a majority of the time, is completely healthy? If he only plays half of next season because of health issues, are you concerned then? Where are you at with that?
So as far as injuries, stuff like the thumb, that's a freak accident. It's not reoccurring. The concerns that I understand, and I'm not a medical expert in any way, shape, or form. I can't even pretend to be. But what I have heard from basketball people is that the concerns come with lower body stuff. So in recurring lower body injuries. So, you know, if the foot thing comes back and it comes back again and it won't go away, I think there begins to be a concern there. But, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt, let's say that he's healthy. I would say, you know, within a season, you're going to want to see something. And he does score a lot of points. He gets a lot of rebounds. He can block some shots. He can run in transition. Those are all good things. What I would eventually want to see move in the positive direction would be the net rating of the team when he's on the floor, because numbers don't mean anything in the long run if your team isn't winning basketball games. And unfortunately, his net rating, the net rating of the Kings when he's on the court, has been the poorest of any player on the Kings roster, with a few exceptions, G League guys that were traded away after a brief run. But of the core of the Kings, the net rating is the worst with him out there. That's what I would want to see change. I would want to see the Kings winning basketball games with him on the floor, scoring more points than their opponents in the stretches when he's on the court. And I think that putting him at the 5 is going to give them the best chance to do that, because it's a spacing thing. It's a optimizing shooting thing. I think that's the best path of optimization for Bagley.
I'm going to sneak one more in. What is the most important thing for Bagley during these eight games, and maybe even playoff games, but let's just assume just these eight games. What is most important for Marvin Bagley through this stretch in Orlando?
It's probably a mentality thing. We've seen the numbers. So, like, he doesn't need to come out here and prove that he can score or put up nice numbers. I think it's, you know, keeping his head up, you know, staying positive, bonding with the team, you know, believing in himself, not having to listen to a lot of the chatter. I mean, and we can include this conversation as part of the chatter. You know, there's a lot of talk and question and speculation about him. I'm hoping that he's able to put all that out of his head, believe in himself as a player, and just be confident, because he's got all the skills. You know, he's got it all. Like, he absolutely is still a great prospect. I fear that if we talk all too much, and I'm certainly contributing to this in a negative way, but if we talk too much about him and the coaches and the GMs build him up too much, it's going to be too much pressure. But I just want him to be him and to play his best basketball.
That is Richard Ivanowski. You can check out his fantastic work, including this article, The Positionless Problem, Bagley is a Center and the Kings Should Deal with It. Check out his work on the Sacramento Bee. He provides fantastic coverage there. You can also hear him, if you like what you heard here, hear him on the Kings Pulse podcast. He does great work over there. Richard, it's a pleasure to be able to speak with you. I look forward to seeing your theories be tested when Bagley is back on the floor. I look forward to seeing Kings basketball back, and I don't know about you, my man, but I'm so guilty of this "what have you done for me lately" mentality that I often forget what it is that Marvin Bagley can be and what he can do. And just going back and looking at highlights of when he was in, or his final game in Miami before he got the foot injury, or even going back to his first dunk in the California Classic over the Lakers, just as a brief reminder of, hey, this is what Marvin Bagley can be, that excites me for this 8-game stretch.
Oh, yeah. I just hope that he gets healthy and gets on the court, because he will make us forget in a matter of seconds. Just, one dunk. I mean, yeah, you mentioned it. He had a 15-15 in that Miami game. I had forgotten all about the foot stuff. But I want this guy to do well. I believe that he can do well, and he will make us forget about all this if he can get on the court.
Another game for you, Richard, to go back and check in Locked On Kings listeners, if you want just a good reminder of what Marvin Bagley can be and how involved he can get in a game just offensively. Go back to his rookie season when the Kings defeated the San Antonio Spurs in Sacramento. It was when he had that famous 180 alley-oop dunk. I think he led the Kings in scoring, had a career high, either 25 or 27 points. I can't remember off the top of my head, but go back and watch that game. Watch the highlights from that game, how fluid he was on the offensive end. That'll also give you hope as well. Richard, it's fantastic to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time, my friend. I look forward to reading more of your work and hearing you more on Kings Pulse in the future, and I look forward just to talking basketball with you as the Kings return here in Orlando.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Big thank you to Richard Ivanowski again for joining me here on the Locked On Kings podcast today. And again, check out all of his fantastic work at the Sacramento Bee and at Kings Pulse. And before we wrap up today, I have to get a little sentimental. I have to get a little bit cheesy here. And I just wanted to say thank you. I was informed yesterday by the executives of the Locked On Podcast Network that the Locked On Kings audience is up 77%. From this point last year. Those numbers would be incredible under normal NBA and world circumstances. But of course, there is nothing normal about what is happening in our world right now. There is nothing normal about the NBA season stopping abruptly in March, especially when the Sacramento Kings were on a playoff push. And it would have been so easy for all of you to stop listening to Locked On Kings, to stop caring because basketball has stopped, so why would you bother listening to me? But instead, so many of you have chosen to ride it out with me, to get through these months together, to talk Kings, to talk NBA, to talk sports. You enjoyed the special that I put together on the 2002 Sacramento Kings, and I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. The fact that you've stuck it out with me, the fact that you've been here, supportive of me, supportive of the Locked On Kings brand, continuing, of course, your support of the Sacramento Kings. It means a ton, especially when we transitioned at times into the uncomfortable realm of political and social justice issues and racism in our world. And a lot of people, myself included, used to want to keep politics and sports separate. But now they're starting to really mold together as our professional athletes are using their platforms and their voices to help create positive change in our world. And we've had to dip our toes in that, and it's been uncomfortable, but it's also been fantastic. It's been therapeutic. It's allowed me to engage in a lot of different, fun, and uncomfortable conversations with a lot of different people. And to see those numbers, 77% increase from this point last year to this year, with everything that has been going on, it just reaffirms that this show is important. Sports talk is important. Podcasting is important. And even if the games aren't being played, we can still bond. We can still be brought together through our love of a team, of a city, and of a game. So thank you so much for your support of the Locked On Kings podcast. I truly could not be more proud of where this podcast has gone, not be more proud of this Locked On Kings audience. And it was so emotional for me. I actually had to just take a moment and step back and pause and just reflect on everything. And I cannot tell you enough how thankful I am for that support during this entire break. So thank you. As always, please stay safe, please stay healthy, and I can't wait to talk to you soon on the next episode of the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.